This is the Voice of Literacy, where literacy researchers, teachers, principals, parents, and policymakers share and discuss how literacy research informs practice. Join the biweekly podcast and discussion forums. My name is Dr. Betsy Baker, Professor of Literacy Studies at the University of Missouri. This week we hear from Dr. Annie Moses, a postdoctoral fellow at the University of Pennsylvania. She does research involving print literacy and children's television. Welcome, Dr. Moses.
Thank you for having me.
We're glad to have you here. First, tell us about yourself and how you got interested in print literacy and children's television.
Sure. I'm interested in early literacy development, particularly with kids from birth to about age 8. So as I was doing my graduate work, I was reading all about that and came across an article that was an analysis, just a small analysis of Sesame Street. It was done in the mid-90s. And they found some surprising things. They found some negative messages about literacy in Sesame Street, which I don't think anyone would normally think of finding in Sesame Street. So they found things like if a character was reading, another character would distract them and do something else, and mm-hmm. they would never return to the reading. So it seemed from that, the message seemed to be reading isn't as fun as doing something else. So that got me thinking about the role of TV in the lives of young children as they're becoming readers and writers and what role that may play. And it kind of took off from there, thinking about not just Sesame Street, but kind of all the shows that kids are introduced to and in the hours that they spend watching TV during their day.
Yeah, real interesting. Now, your study talks about print literacy in television,
mm-hmm.
and yet, you know, I would think TV shows inherently tell stories themselves mm-hmm. and are helping viewers understand characterization and plot. Help define, I guess, some terms here. Why are you looking at, I don't know that I would watch a TV show to watch somebody else read a book
mm-hmm.
as much as to watch the story being told. So mm-hmm. so differentiate for us a little bit. You know, what do you mean by print literacy on television? Why is that important versus the just understanding the story and characterization on a television show?
Well, in the study we did, we defined we looked for literacy events, print literacy events, which we defined as any time a character read, listened to, or wrote something in print. So if a book or a sign, and one of the reasons we found that interesting to consider was how important print is in just our daily lives. And one of the important things that kids learn as they're developing is the different forms of print, what it looks like, and then why people use print. And we felt that was a really essential piece. And if TV was portraying literacy, at least print literacy, in certain ways, we were curious about how they did that. And then the next step would be thinking about what kind of impact those messages would have on kids. So this was just one of two steps.
So in a lot of ways, sort of like you're talking about the Sesame Street piece that you
mm-hmm.
read, it's really the expectations children have of reading and writing print and their influence from watching TV. Is that sort of the crux to what you're getting at here?
Right, and we know that other things on TV, other kind of topics like friendships and aggression and those kinds of things can, when they see it on TV, it really can impact kids' own attitudes and perceptions. And so what we were wondering was, what did print literacy look like? One of the reasons, too, for focusing just on print was a practical reason, too, to kind of narrow our scope enough so that we could accomplish this task.
Sure, sure.
But certainly there's other aspects of literacy. Another big thing that someone would consider thinking about is visual literacy and what that means for TV.
So given a little bit of an introduction to your topic and given the expertise that you've developed in understanding how print literacy is represented in children's television, what might you tell a group of teachers? What advice might you be able to give them?
Well, I would start with the idea that usually TV, I think it tends to be a good or bad situation, like TV's either good or it's bad. But what we know from kind of decades of research is that it's a little more complicated than that. So what really matters in many cases is not only, say, how much time kids are spending watching TV, but also what they're watching. So for teachers, what they might be interested in thinking about is how to utilize what kids see on TV when they're trying to teach them things about literacy in the classroom or engage them with literacy mm-hmm. in the classroom.
Can you give me an example
of that?
And that
could be just making kind of extensions between topics that they talk about in class to what they think or they know that kids have seen on TV, or incorporating in very purposeful ways things that might be on TV or on DVD or video into the classroom
So was one of the shows you examined was it Read Between the Lines?
Between the Lines actually wasn't in the top 10, but that is a show that's really rich with literacy. So that would be a great example of there's a lot of material for letter sound knowledge and phonemic awareness that that would be great for teachers who are interested in focusing on that in their classroom and finding a way that a lot of kids find enjoyable, mm-hmm. an activity they find enjoyable. So
your study really looked at the top 10 most popular.
Again, it was somewhat of a practical thing to narrow down the scope, but also when we were interested in what literacy looked like, we thought the best place to start was what are kids watching the most?
Yeah, so maybe
and
this...
they were the top 10 shows for kids between the ages of 2 and 5.
Okay.
So that's another reason. Between the Lions tends to have a little bit, like, 4 to 7-year-old audience.
Right, and I was thinking Reading Rainbow as well, so that's probably
a
little bit older group for what you're looking at.
Yep.
Okay, and tell us then, what would you tell a group of parents? Does this mean turn off the TV? Does this mean...
Not necessarily. I think, again, it's this issue of content really matters. So children's programming tends to fall into either educational or entertainment, and then there's a whole lot of other stuff on TV, stuff that's made for adults. And so I think it just means that parents can be really aware of what their kids are watching and how they can make the most of it. So
what should they be aware of?
Well, this is actually a good example of what we did in the study was thinking about the kinds of messages. So what is the impression that this episode gave about literacy? But that can be the impression that they give about friends or social situations or things like that. So kind of keeping in mind that they're not always neutral. So if you kind of keep your eye on and watch the shows with your child, you'll know the things that they might be getting from the show and then be able to explain it. And if you don't agree with it, certainly approach that topic as well.
Yeah.
If it's negative or if you see something that doesn't please you in some way.
Yeah, and I know so your article in the Journal of Literacy Research also gave some recommendations for policymakers. Can you talk about that?
Sure. That's a big issue for policymakers is thinking about what's available to kids in all kinds of media. But with TV, they have something called the 3-hour rule, which requires that there's at least 3 hours of programming for children available, and it's something that they aren't necessarily, there are some penalties if they don't follow the rule, but it's, so one of the things that policymakers can think about is how they define what's educational or informational, which if you see on your TV screen, you'll see something marked as E/I if it's educational informational, but there's not real clear guidelines for that for people who are creating the shows and putting them on the air. So having something like a definition of what literacy might look like on screen might help them think about the things to keep in mind for making regulations about what's educational and informational.
Yeah. And then finally, any words of wisdom then for principals and what they can be doing to support these efforts?
That one, I tend to always think it kind of the educator in the classroom level, so I can try and make some recommendations, but I think it just goes back to this issue of TV being in the lives of young children, and that's kind of the situation, so thinking about supporting families and also supporting teachers and thinking about how to make the most of it and providing them with information about what are some good things to do. We've created for... there's an article coming out in Young Children that I wrote that there's kind of a checklist of things to consider with programming. And so maybe key tips like that and just keeping their eye out for ways to provide resources to the teachers and parents about how to make the most of TV.
Yeah, good. And we'll be looking for that checklist as well. Where do you see yourself going next with this research? What do you need to accomplish still, or what still needs to be known about print literacy and television?
The next step for me was actually a study that came right after this one, and it looked at messages, these positive and negative messages, and whether they impacted 4- and 5-year-olds' attitudes about literacy. So that's kind of in the final stages of being prepared to send out to a journal. So we can hopefully cross our fingers that that goes well and that it'll be out soon.
Well,
but what I found in that case was that kids seemed to pick up on the messages. They seemed to be able to distinguish when there was something positive being said about reading or writing or books. And when something negative was happening with those things. But it didn't, at least in the short term, didn't really have an impact on how they felt about literacy, which was really interesting for me. It wasn't necessarily what I was expecting to find.
Yeah. Well, good.
Yeah.
Annie Moses from the University of Pennsylvania, thank you for talking with us today.
Thank you.
You can find Dr. Moses' research in the Journal of Literacy Research, Volume 40, Issue 3, Go to our website, voiceofliteracy.org, where you can find a link to this article and additional work done by Dr. Moses. You can also join online discussions of this and other podcast episodes. We invite you to peruse a schedule of upcoming topics and guests, as well as pose questions for those guests. This is the Voice of Literacy.